Good morning. For a long time in the past, recent past, we have been studying the book of Acts. Ted Bendel brought us to the end of that a week ago and gave us a really good send-off. And we've decided to look at the book of Ephesians. And I've been asked to give an introduction, an overview, an introduction to the book of Ephesians. So I want to read, just as an introduction, first few verses of Ephesians, and then we'll get into the study. For those who are using the Pew Bibles, the Broad Bibles, 1:8-1:17. And I'm going to read it from my NIV, New International Version. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has given us freely in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. All right. So that's the first few verses of a very wonderful book, the book of Ephesians. But we have to go back a little bit into the book of Acts, chapter 19. So please turn back to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. Verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly by the space of 3 months, disputing, persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, he spake evil of the way, that's the Christian way. Before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, and disputed daily in the school of one Tyrannus, and this continued by the space of 2 years. Turn now to the last two verses of Acts. Acts chapter 28. Verse 30, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. Remember, he's a prisoner. And received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So putting these together, we learn that Paul was over 2 years in the city of Ephesus. And as he left a very place dear to his heart. And he was in prison. Well, how do we know he was in prison? Ephesians chapter 4, this is what he says. If I'm confused, that's all right. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." Now, Paul spent 2 years in that hired house. He had a measure of freedom to speak to the people who came to see him, or some who came to serve him. However, he was chained, a chain in one arm and one arm of his caretaker, the one of the soldiers. While he was there, he wrote to people, and that included the church that he left back in Ephesus. And that's the letter that we have, sometimes called the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians. I read once that, and this is probably fictitious, so you can repeat it later. In this Bible school, the professor said, "What is the meaning of the word epistle?" Well, a smart young man put up his hand and said, "Sir, see, a wife of an apostle. Epistle is the wife of the apostle." Well, he was wrong, of course. Epistle is an old word for a letter. But we don't use that today. You don't send your child or husband or whoever. "Would you go to the post office and see if there are any epistles there for me?" Of course, you use the word letter. There are 4 prison epistles in our New Testament. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Now, Philemon was apparently in charge by the authorities, and he was in prison there too. Paul led him to Christ. Beautiful little letter of that name, Philemon. And then there are Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. 3 sort of a series bound together. Now, Ephesians, sort of a mountaintop of Christian principles and practices. And Colossians as well. But Colossians is also a mountaintop of Christian knowledge. And in between these two mountaintops, you have the valley of Philippians, and a very precious 4 chapters as well. A major truth that's emphasized is that of the church, as Christ's present spiritual earthly body, also as a distinct and formerly unrevealed truth about God's people, but none made known at that time or before. And it shows that the church is not an organization, but a living organism composed of mutually and interdependent parts. Christ is the head of the body, and the Holy Spirit is his lifeblood. The body functions through the faithful use of its members, various spiritual gifts, uniquely bestowed by the Holy Spirit. So, I'd like to go back to the last verse I read at the opening, Ephesians 1 and verse 10. And verse 9, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in him. And so this is the broad scope of the Christian dispensation and the purpose of God, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one. So that's what we're looking forward to. Christ is coming. He's coming back to set up his earthly kingdom. And then the whole universe will be gathered to Christ. And the millennial kingdom will enter. And so Paul says that in verse 9 of chapter 1, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, in which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, going through the letter, we find that the word riches is used over and over again. Well, five times if you count them. Five times we're entered into riches. Doesn't that make you feel rich? Well, certainly if you're a Christian, you feel rich. You are rich. And the word grace is used 12 times. Grace, God, and thinking of it like this, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. What Christ has done to bring us into this program of God. But then, eight times, we have the word glory. Glory, our destination. Young people were singing about that. Indeed, glory. Eight times. Fullness or filled, six times. In Christ or in him, 12 times. So, putting those together, riches 5 times, grace 12 times, glory 8 times, fullness 6 times. See how rich you are? They're yours. They're mine. I'm looking forward, as we sang in an early meeting today, face to face, we'll see him in glory. Jim Melnick and I like to get together and just talk a little bit about flying. He was a pilot. I wasn't. But I went up in an airplane during my training 6 times. Seven times. And I only came down with the plane once. I was telling this to someone, actually an undertaker, when he was driving us out to the cemetery. And he was quite interested and was telling us about his flying experiences. And I quoted that to him. I went up with the plane 7 times and only came down with the plane once. And he almost jumped out of the car and wanted me to explain, what do you mean? Well, then I told him I was training as a parachutist. 6 times I had to jump out of that Lockheed Lodestar and then sail down to 3-point landing. Well, just once it was 3-point. I bumped my head when I hit the ground. All right, now Ephesians divides quite equally into 2 main divisions. 1-3. 1, chapter 1, 2, 3. And that's doctrine, teaching. And then 4, 5, and 6, the second division. And that is where modern parlance, where the rubber hits the road. What does Paul say in the beginning of chapter 4? I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness, meekness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But I'm not supposed to give the whole thing now. That's for others to do step by step, week by week. But in the last four to chapter 6, we have the practice of a Christian as it should be. Now, I notice in the study of this that the Trinity is mentioned, and I want you to see that. The Holy Trinity. Someone might come to your door and say, well, there's no such thing as the Trinity. But chapter 2, verse 18, 2 and 18, that through him, Christ, both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Spirit, Christ, and the Father, the Trinity. And in Ephesians, we face the enemy. Now, again, going back to my Army Air Force experience for a while, we had posters on the wall entitled, Know Your Enemies. And then a picture maybe of a German fighter plane, or some submarine or whatnot. We had to know our enemy and be ready to face him. Well, that's what we have here too. Know your enemy and face him. Jump to chapter 6 just quickly. Verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Know your enemies. And in the book of Ephesians, we have references to that word dispensation, and three times it's used. One says age, one says stewardship, and one as generations. Prayer is predominant in chapter 1. Paul says, Chapter 1, wherefore, verse 15, after I heard of your faith, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And the same in chapter 6, or chapter 3, ends like this. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his grace, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So there's prayer, chapters 1 and chapter 3. The last three chapters, under the heading of doctrine, I just want us to notice something. If in the first division we have the teaching, in the second we have the practical, but in my Bible it has unity in the body of Christ. Urge you to live worthy of the calling that you have received. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. We're living in love as Christians. And then verse number 17, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you may no longer live as the Gentiles do, futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God. So you'll be able to read this. We're living in love and living as children of light. Now, chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering, sacrifice to God. And then, verse 21, chapter 5, another subject is dealt with. Verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he delineates how some of this is to be done. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Husbands, love your wives. Three times in this little passage is the word love. Husbands, love your wives. The last verse. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. Children, verse 1 of 6. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with promise. And then, verse 5, slaves, obey your earthly masters. Again, we go back to the army for an illustration. When I just started my training as a paratrooper in Camp Shiloh, Manitoba, I was 21, and there was a young soldier there with one stripe. He was a lance corporal, too young to be sent overseas, so they kept him to do some mopping up things at Camp Shiloh. And my first day there in Camp Shiloh, I was standing with, and I had my thumbs hooked in my pocket. And he said, "Soldier, we don't do that here. Get down and give me 25 push-ups." He was 19, and I was 21. I could have handled him nicely, but I didn't try. Why did I start on that? But he had the authority, and I had the responsibility to obey that authority. I did the 25 push-ups. Before I was finished with that basic training there, the number rose to 75. Anyway, that's sort of a summary of the book. Chapter 4, living in love, living in light. Chapter 5, filled with the Spirit, not the spirits. Chapter 6, there is an enemy, let's face it, in the power of the Lord, in the power of his word. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing a hymn. Gracious God, our Father, we do thank you for the provision you've made for us. We thank you for the prospects of many weeks in this very precious little book that Paul wrote from a prison, Ephesians. We ask you to bless us now, in Jesus' name. 505 for a closing hymn. 505. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, love lifted me, 505.